This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Last weekend on this show, I was talking about a couple of friends of mine who were, they were fairly heavy smokers who in the last month or so have taken up e-cigarettes, or more specifically, they've taken up vapes, because there are different kinds of things, and they're not smoking the ones that look like cigarettes with the little blue light at the end. They are smoking the much bigger vape pipes that have the water in them, the juice, as it's called, and they're trying to kick the cigarette habit, but I noticed that they are actually sucking on these vapes much more because they can do that indoors, because there aren't any bans on smoking those indoors as there are in many places in the country for regular cigarettes. Well, Los Angeles is going to be the first to change that. They voted on Tuesday in the city council to approve sweeping new regulations that would treat e-cigarettes just like regular cigarettes. So you couldn't smoke in most public places or in work sites or even outside at the park or the beach. Meanwhile, the CDC this week put out a new report saying that students are smoking these e-cigarettes and vapes sometimes more than twice as much as they were smoking regular cigarettes. So what is the story behind e-cigarettes and vapes? Here to talk about that is Emily Ann McDonald, a researcher and anthropologist at the University of California, San Francisco, who is studying e-cigarettes. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Are people moving to these as a way to get off cigarettes, or is it a new fad for people who may never have been on cigarettes before?
I think that's such an important question. A lot of time when e-cigarettes come up, all we hear are the stories about sort of chronic smokers using them to help quit. And that might be a piece of the picture, but another important piece to look at is their use, particularly by youth and young adults who are picking them up either as a novelty, as you mentioned earlier, maybe never having tried a combustible cigarette, or using them alongside regular cigarettes and increasing their addiction to nicotine.
So they're doing it because it's cool, just like the way most people started out on regular cigarettes.
Well, I think definitely the novelty factor is a piece of it. Another important reason why I think a lot of young adults are willing to experiment with them is because they perceive them as being really safe, especially in comparison to cigarettes. The problem with that is that the only information that's out there about e-cigarettes right now is the marketing from the e-cigarette companies, which coincidentally also happen to often be the big tobacco companies. You mentioned Blue earlier, which is actually owned by Lorillard. So young adults and youth are bombarded by marketing messages, and as a result, they may think that e-cigarettes are completely safe, even though the science isn't there to establish that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are they safe?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the big question right now. The problem is that the science really isn't there. We don't know what the long-term effects of inhaling a propylene glycol solution with nicotine into your lungs all day long could be. Unfortunately, I think we're not being cautious. Instead of waiting for the science to establish their safety, we're just going ahead and flooding the market with these products. So in some ways, consumers that are using them are really in the position of being the guinea pigs and testing whether or not these products will ultimately be safe.
Dr. Tim McAfee, who's the director of the CDC of the Office on Smoking and Health, says, quote, "We know that nicotine itself is harmful to the developing adolescent brain. We know that young teens who experiment with these may be more likely to try tobacco cigarettes. But a spokesperson for the Tobacco Vapor Electronic Cigarette Association," in other words, their lobbyist, a guy by the name of Roy Story, says there's no proof e-cigarettes are a gateway to conventional cigarettes. That's like saying Coca-Cola is a gateway to rum and Coke. He also says that electronic cigarettes are 1,400% less harmful than conventional cigarettes, but nobody ever mentions that. What about the nicotine itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the nicotine is an issue. I mean, we do know nicotine is addictive. So young adults that are using these and are, as you mentioned earlier, are using them in places where they wouldn't be able to smoke conventional cigarettes, such as at school or in bars or in other public spaces, there is the potential to become increasingly addicted to nicotine. And I think one of the things that my research shows that is probably most concerning is the young adults we're talking to, they're smoking e-cigarettes in places like work where they normally can't, but the second they step outside, they're moving to a combustible, regular, conventional cigarette. So the overall intake of nicotine is much higher, but they're still also getting all the toxic effects of conventional tobacco use. And I think that's something we really need to pay attention to, because we're not seeing these complete switches.
So it's vapes indoors, Marlboros outdoors.
Exactly. Dual use.
When we talk about young people doing this, are we talking about people who are not old enough to legally buy cigarettes? Can they buy vapes?
Yeah, it's a great question. So right now, electronic cigarettes are not being regulated. The FDA does actually have the authority to regulate them, but has not chosen to do so yet. So we're waiting for that. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, different state and localities are making up regulations to make sure that they are, in fact, not getting in the hands of young people. So it really depends on where you are. Some places, there's absolutely no restrictions, where other places like New York City, you're going to have to be 21 to buy these. So it's a patchwork. But I think one thing that's really concerning, particularly in terms of youth and young adults, are that e-cigarettes are also attractive to young adults in really novel ways. For example, a lot of them are flavored, coming in flavors like gummy bear and cotton candy. As you may know, traditional cigarettes, we have banned flavored cigarettes because of the concern that they may appeal particularly to youth and young adults. So these are being picked up because they're sweet, they're exciting flavors, and also the young adults I talk to talk about them as being these cool new sort of robot cigarettes, fitting into their idea of cool technologies like iPods and video games.
Yeah. You know, I'm old enough to remember when you would go to the candy counter at the store, there would be candy cigarettes there with the fake little orange tip on the white stick and, you know, oh, you could pretend you had cigarettes. And now we've progressed to the point where you can, you know, get one of these vape pipes and get the juice and it could be tasting like, well, candy. Or I read yesterday they actually make bacon flavoring and pickle flavoring and chocolate and orange and you know, hundreds of different flavors. And that's got to be part of the appeal, right?
Absolutely. And I think your point about going back in time is spot on. I mean, this is really like going back to the Wild West of the days in which cigarettes could be marketed, they could be flavored, they were available to young people. So it's really like traveling back in time. And I think, unfortunately, public health officials have been a little flat-footed on this issue. So we're seeing a lot of young adults experimenting, a lot of people using them. And meanwhile, there are absolutely no public health educational campaigns out there to tell people about the potential dangers, to let them know that they're unregulated. And I think most importantly, to let them know that the science isn't there.
I just got an email from a listener telling me that the General Assembly in the state of Georgia is considering legislation that would ban the sale of these products to anybody under 18 years old. I also read a piece by Amanda Marcotte, who's a columnist for Slate.com, who says, nicotine on its own, while addictive, does not appear to be bad for you, which is why health officials sign off on nicotine replacement therapies that don't have the tar and the other chemicals that you get in real cigarettes. The panic over nicotine addiction in and of itself seems circular. Nicotine addiction is bad because addiction is bad. Addiction is bad because, well, don't you know that addiction is bad? I'll explain that to you right after I finish this cup of coffee, unquote. What she seems to be pointing out here is that much of the use of nicotine to get you addicted was what got you in trouble with all the other chemicals that are in regular cigarettes. Those are not in the e-cigarettes, correct?
Well, again, I think her argument leaves out some important pieces. The first thing is that we actually don't know all the different components of e-cigarettes. A lot of people like to just focus on the fact that they think it's harmless water vapor, which we know is not true, or they talk about the component of nicotine and propylene glycol. However, we are finding in the science that there are toxicants present, including carcinogens as well as metal particles. So that's of concern. Additionally, her argument that nicotine is just nicotine, You know, if everyone switched only to an e-cigarette or to an established FDA-approved nicotine replacement therapy, that would probably be a net plus in terms of public health. But what we're seeing on the ground is that's not how people are using these. They're using them to maintain a nicotine addiction in places where they can't smoke, and then, as I mentioned earlier, switching right back to the combustible tobacco products once they're outside.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is that they're still getting the harmful effects of tobacco, but they're becoming even increasingly addicted to nicotine.
Plus, as you pointed out, you're getting the new users who may never light up a conventional cigarette, but in the meantime, they're getting cooked on this habit because it's the new cool thing. Very interesting. Emily Ann McDonald, researcher and anthropologist at the University of California in San Francisco. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks so much for having me, and such an important topic to cover.
Yeah, I'm glad you joined me. I'm Paul Harris. This is E-America Weekend on the Envision Networks.
America Weekend.